Hi everyone and welcome to the Curve Mindset Podcast with McGinley Coaching. I'm your host and founder, Laurie McGinley. Today we're joined by Amanda Goodwin, or aka AJ, from Manchester United. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for the invite.
No worries. Can you just tell the listeners about the background of yourself and the kind of the journey you've been on so far?
Yeah, so obviously a previously ex-player in the Women's Premier League back before it became professional, before the Super League, and then moved into, obviously doing alongside that, part-time coaching, part-time teaching. Moved into football full-time, working for the Football Association for the past 5 years, working for England as a talent technical coach for the North West, so supporting the high potential players or discovering new talent coming through the North West system. Alongside that, obviously assisting the women's under-16s national team as well, so that was really exciting. And then now I'm 4 months in my new role as the women's academy manager at Manchester United.
And let's go back to playing, you know, like a lot, it's obviously lots of things have happened, you know, since retirement, you know, a lot of kind of there's the potential for the commercial side to the playing side to the standards. What do you think from your experiences playing, but now the players are playing now, what do you think is the biggest thing that's actually been the biggest learning curve, you know, from you getting into coaching, but also, you know, learning from other kind of coaches?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is for me is learning from how people lead from the front, their leadership styles, their coaching styles, and taking a bit from different people. But also as well, I'd probably say the biggest thing is making myself unique and what do I bring and the value that I bring as a coach and as a person. And I definitely strive a lot on building good relationships with the people that I work with, but also the players that I work with, because they've got to trust you. They've got to trust that you're there for their development and their purpose of why you're there is to support them and make them better, and you've got to really kind of grasp that relationship side first and then know how to challenge them. So what players at what need at what moment, do they need to strip things back, do players need a little bit more acceleration, and building a program around each individual player and how it's very bespoke to each individual player. And again, it just goes down to the needs. I think the biggest thing now is the physical side of it, is the intensity in the game, which when I used to play back in 10, 12 years ago, is a long time ago now, is we didn't really emphasise the physical side. So you could get away with playing at 16 in adult football at the top level, and that's basically what I did. But you can't do that in this day and age. There's a lot of physical demands on the game. There's a lot of challenges for players mentally, physically, psychologically as well, for the players to be able to cope. So the biggest learning, I would say, is that how to get players ready for the physical demands of the game, but also I would say that the tactical demands. So everyone plays different formations now, different style. Everyone's trying to win each other over in terms of that little bit of a strategy on the pitch. So I think probably the biggest learning is the physical and the tactical side of how it's evolved on and it got a lot better.
And the kind of physical side, you know, you're looking at when you talked about earlier, you know, being an assistant coach at the kind of under-16s, that's a really good age to kind of work with, because you've got that kind of work with the adults, but it's also still kind of in that kind of teenage years, obviously playing at a high level, you know, you probably have to mentor a lot of these young players. But how do you try and, you talk about kind of talent, how do you try and develop the talent more when it's maybe, there is a lot of, sometimes there's kind of barriers, you know, to, you know, through financial, through social, through, you know, even physical, you know, barriers, you know, people are maybe taller or smaller. Do you think having that kind of playing background has actually helped you become that better coach, but also you can see how they can, you know, progress their game a bit more?
Yeah, I think what's really helped me as a coach is knowing football from different angles and different levels, so grassroots to international football to Women's Super League football to now being at Manchester United, and I've seen it from various angles now. So what each player needs in each specific age is really important, and how important getting those physical literacy movements in at such a young age, but also as well like lifting, how important power, strength, and the being able to use the gym correctly. So I'd say is understanding the player and what their needs are, and you go off like say physical testing, maturation, where the player's at in terms of their physical age, in terms of their footballing age, trying to gather all that information to give you a better context of kind of the player's development. Alongside that is impact actions on the pitch, is the physical actions marrying up with the technical actions on the pitch, and kind of how that player's performing. Are they having a drop at certain points of the season where they're feeling maybe some stresses with exams or stresses and barriers at home? So really understanding the player and the person is so important to then think about how we excel players. Is it that we need to put them into a different environment in terms of boys training, or is it something that we can do internally? Especially at the Manchester United, what they do really well is they use the loan system really well with youth players. So putting them into adult football as early as possible to let them understand the physicality, understanding the game, different styles of play is important as well. Not just being able to play a lot within possession, which we do when we try and dominate games at Man United. But I think the biggest thing is recognising how to play without the ball as well for long periods of time, playing against bigger, stronger, faster people. So again, it's down to the player, and we do right player, right opportunity, right time. And it's also down to what that player needs, and just being able to support the player through every journey and every aspect. And again, that's probably down to the education side as well. Is we also want a player to make sure that they have a good education background, so balancing education, full-time football, having a life as well. So there's a lot of things, and there's a lot of development and a lot of support that go into players in and around academy age.
Yeah, because obviously Man United, the probably are the biggest team, you know, kind of commercially, but you've seen them maybe the last 5 years, you know, with the WSL going up, and you know, Casey Stoney doing a great job, and then obviously Mark Skinner at the moment doing a kind of job at the moment with working with a lot of younger players. But with your role as an academy director, you obviously, we just talked about there, the kind of framework, but I'm interested, you see the kind of loan moves, a lot of coaches kind of know other coaches and how they work, you know. Do you try and match players with maybe clubs that are, you know, linked to like the Man United way, so therefore they kind of know, okay, this is going to be difficult, but I know I've got a kind of safety, you know, net at Man United, but I'm going to be out of my comfort zone, but I still play the same way to an extent. Do you try and do that as a kind of club when you're trying to implement that kind of more of a coaching style, but also that kind of way of like independence too?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things to look into when you're just putting a player out on loan. It's not just putting a player into a club.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things go on before that player is released to the club. So obviously meeting the club, getting to know the club's environment, the club's philosophy, the club's style of play, how they're going to be coached, the physical plan, how we would share ideas and share IDPs. So there's a lot of things that go into it before we actually think that what's right for each player. And then I guess on the other side of it is knowing the player. What do their needs? Is it they need to do a lot of work without the ball? Is it they need to do a lot of the stuff within possession, being able to build through the thirds? So again, it's very bespoke to each individual player. We do a very much in-depth needs analysis on that player and what they need. And then obviously we have regular updates that we want from the loan club sent back to us, whether that's physical data, whether that's technical data, player IDP support. So we will make sure that it's a holistic approach, but also it's a bespoke for each individual player. They might only remain at that club for one season because we might want to then move them on into a different strategy or a different environment to help support their development, which is best for Manchester United and long-term for that player as well.
Yeah, because you look at Man United and it's such a, as I said, an iconic club, but you're working with the kind of younger ones, you know, and there must be, obviously, there's different frameworks, you know, from scouting to, you know, the sports science and the kind of the whole package. But see, when you're working, obviously, the foundation phase, you know, foundation, youth and kind of professional, how do you try and, see when you're kind of bringing coaches in, you know, to basically do the Manchester United way, how do you try and, improve the coaches' CPD, you know? Is it, do you try and implement like CBD events to them, or do you try and do like different, you know, education parts? Just because a lot of people are interested in the kind of coaching the coaches now, because it's a kind of a bigger job than it's ever been. But how do you try and implement that kind of style of play, so therefore there's that same values, same, you know, principles throughout?
Yeah, so it's a good question. Obviously, Manchester United have a curriculum called the Red Print, which was built before I was in place, and it's an incredible working document around the style of play and the identity and who we are. And that's just epitomises the Youth Academy, which is led by Matt Johnson, obviously renowned to bring players through. through the pathway and move on into getting contracts for the first team. So it's already in place. So I came in such a really good time where I could kind of come in and help support it and add the value that I could add. But the biggest thing is, I'd probably say with coaches, is let them be free. I also spent a bit of time observing them, first and foremost, to get to know their style, who they are, add some one-to-ones around how they would like feedback, where they think their blind spots are, where they think their strengths lie, what CPD would they like to see coming up in the new season, what do they want coming up between now and the end of the season. And we try and grasp it on those, really. And we have real good internal people at the club that we can utilise. So Nick Cox has been really influential to come across and support the Women's Academy and support myself with the Women's Academy role. We've had Mick Matthews, who's the coach developer with Manchester United now, so he mentors all the coaches. Again, he's very hands-on with the Women's Academy side, and we've tried to drip some of those into our staff. And we've got national coach developers as well, which come in and provide the opportunity. So our staff have a lot of support, but again, it's similar to a player. They have an individual plan that they're working towards, and they have support from myself, and they have also support by other people in the club, because we're really fortunate to have amazing staff and amazing people in Manchester United that can just help support from different angles, whether that's not me, who's the best person they go to. And I think that's what the big thing is Man United is a family. We're all there to help support each other, and that's also success as well. So we've had some coaches who've worked for Manchester United a long time. How do we inspire them? How do we motivate them to continue to learn and develop? And I think that's one thing Man United do really well, is they keep the staff, they support the staff, but also they motivate the staff to make players better. And I've definitely come into an environment that showcases that.
Yeah, because you look at, like, you know, last year, you know, done really well. The first team, you know, cup final, and done really well in the league. But sometimes there's a, in football, it's never linear. It's always up and down, or there's different things. But you've obviously see a lot of, there's the schedule's obviously very, very long, but sometimes you need to bring the young players in, you know, to the kind of first team. How do you try and transition that? Because it can be difficult for young players sometimes to see the role models, and they may be in awe. Or do you try and link that, as it is, like a one club mentality? But is there a way of trying to transition the, you know, with the manager maybe coming down to see the younger players and kind of working with the younger players? Or is it, how does it kind of work from the transition from the kind of the academy to kind of first team?
Yeah, so obviously we have a lot of useful staff in terms of Charlotte Healy, really influential in terms of the transition of the youth players, because she did the academy job for many, many years and built the programme. So she knows what youth looks like. So she's really an advocate of giving youth that chance to train, whether that's train with the first team and get that experience around, whether that's going away on a long coach journey to get the experience of that, whether it's doing a warm-up on a match day, or going in and getting involved in training, being around the environment, being around classroom sessions, meetings, eating with the team, and just socialising as well, because there's so many different aspects you can learn by just being around the first team. So we have a real clear transition, and it's real. It's supported by a lot of members of staff, whether that's the player care in the first team, whether that's physical performance coach. The big thing is a lot of data is shared across, so they'll know all about our players, we'll know all about what they're doing at the first team, and it's very much shared, because obviously, like I said, we want to be aligned, but we want to make sure that there's a transition into the first team. First and foremost is we're trying to develop players that are capable of playing for our first team. At some point, their journey may have to exit us to go away to come back again, and that's still okay. And like I said, we always say that they may have to take a step away from Manchester United to come back in, whether that's a loan deal, whether that's a permanent move away. But we always make sure that we do the right thing for each individual player at the right time. And again, Man United are renowned for success of these individuals and doing the right loan deal. If you look at Grace Clinton now, her loan deal at Spurs, and she's getting calls up for senior lionesses and just performing at the highest standing. And it's a credit to that loan system, and it's a credit to Manchester United for obviously doing it the right way. So it shows that it works, and it shows Man United have the best players' interests at heart.
Yeah, because we look at the loan system, but also look at, and you've just discussed like six or seven roles, and there's a lot of resources there, you know, which is always a great thing to have, you know. But do you think sometimes, see the resources that you have, is it sometimes actually such a benefit to have that, because you look at you strive to be the best, you know, and sometimes people are sometimes a wee bit vary or sort of kind of envy of like people who have got the money, but also the best coaches. Do you think having the resources is actually such a good thing to have, so therefore the players can go to different things, you're like a strength and conditioning nutritionist, your psychologist, all these different job roles, so therefore people can actually, you can get the best out of that kind of player, because the marginal gains now, what do I say, obviously with any of us, you know, but the biggest thing is marginal gains these days, you know, and the leadership style, but also having that resource to go, I can do this. Do you think that's such a big thing now in women's football, particularly at Man United?
I think the standards of the first team, it shows how high they are, and they won Champions League.
Yeah.
So our job at the academy gets a lot harder, is we're trying to build, create, support players able to fit into that. And unfortunately, with the age, it's really difficult. So we've got to do everything we can to support the players. And like I said before, is they may have to go away to come back into Manchester United, and we'll keep tabs on them through that way, or we'll support them internally. But we've always got a plan for every player, and that's important. And we always try and predict what a player's journey may look like, or even help support that player's journey. Resources is obviously amazing, but sometimes you don't have all the resources that a first team have at 21s. Yes, we're a full-time programme. Yes, we've got a great physical programme. Yes, we've got education programme. So we have the holistic support. But at the end of the day, it's down to our programme and how we deliver that programme day in, day out, the standards that we deliver to players and the standards that we expect from players as well, because the responsibility is not just on the coaching staff, the responsibility is on the players as well to drive their own performance, drive their own standards. And again, that takes players to the top, especially players that I've coached along the journey that have made senior lionesses or have coached through the youth pathway, is they've had something about them to develop themselves. Resources are good, money's amazing, but it's not the be-all and end-all. It's what you do with your programme, and it's how you deliver it, and it's how you support the players.
Yeah, and that human aspect, you know, because you look at the data, it's sometimes great, but you need to have that human eye to say, do you know what, this is the data helps with the evidence, but the eye is pretty much the saying, do you know what, that's not ready, or the feeling, you know, I'm not, they may not be feeling great, or there's something that's happened, you know, it's like there's a social thing. But I'm just interested in you talked about the 21s, you know, and there's a lot of people interested, like session plans, and these are great, but what you talk about this programme, which obviously we can go into a little bit of detail in you, because obviously a lot of it would be confidential, but what would the session look like? What would a week look like for a player from Monday to Sunday? Game day Sundays usually, but for a professional. But what does the kind of week look like for maybe a typical 21s player?
Yeah, so obviously I look after the 16s and 21s, so obviously they're slightly different because the 16s are still in school, whereas the 21s are in college or university, so their programme will look different. And that's the structure of building from 16s into 21s. So the under-16s at the minute will train 3 times a week and play on the weekend, and they'll have 3 gym sessions a week and 3 pitch sessions. Alongside that, they'll have a lot of IDP support, a lot of one-to-one discussions, whether that's on the pitch, off the pitch, use of analysis, and then obviously they'll play in the boys' league on a Saturday, which is really competitive. And then we do bespoke fixtures where we play against girls' team as well, just to help us benchmark and keep that morale and motivation up. 21's programme, again, this is probably a typical week, but it could change, whether it's a double game week. So the obviously training on Monday, Tuesday, and they usually play a fixture on Wednesday, and then they're usually off on obviously after the game day, and then they're back in training for Friday and Saturday, and then off on a Sunday. That's a typical week. Obviously, again, based around that, you've got your analysis sessions, your social sessions as well, which is so important for team morale. You've got your gym work, your pre-act, your pitch-based sessions, your set-piece sessions as well, and obviously picking up around that is IDP work, player discussions alongside that as well. So obviously that's kind of what we get in a week. Each week may change in terms of what we have on. Some weeks we have double game weeks. Some weeks we have players that are playing out on loan. So again, we have to manage their loading throughout the week. And that's important that we get the GPS data that they'll take with them to the loan club, and they'll train with the loan club once a week. We'll come back and we'll analyse that, and then we'll make sure that their training load plan is capable for the player to be able to get through that week as well.
Yeah. Oh, so you talked about there. Yeah, it's really interesting because they obviously need the periodisation, the kind of model of like different parts, because obviously they're different ages, but also they make it as much realistic to the kind of first team, so therefore they have that kind of buy-in. But you mentioned you obviously you work with the 16 to 21s, but I've been doing a lot more research on the kind of operation side, you know, and it's really interesting. Obviously, I don't know if you've probably heard Queenie Porter. She's at kind of West Ham, the kind of vice president, obviously, and a couple of more people have mentioned how the commercial side is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, like from the thing. Working in the academy, you're obviously they're going to be a commercial side to things, but sponsorship. But what, instead of like, I know you do, you work with the 16 to 21s, but what is a kind of typical day for you when you're not on the grass? I know it could be quite, a lot of people find these kind of things like, you know, the admin side, oh, I'm not really great about that, but I find it really interesting because it's a different type of leadership you need to, you know, use, you know, to create more of a motivation, you know, because sometimes you have to do things they might not want to, but it's part of your role, you have to do it. What would a typical day look like without going on the grass and then on the grass?
Yeah, so we're really lucky. We have a full-time operations manager who looks after all the logistics, all the fixtures, communication, programming of scheduling, transport, hotels. So we're really lucky that we have that side. Obviously, that takes a lot of kind of workload off myself, and that's a really important job because it knits all the dots together, and like I said, that's so important for the standards that we're at, and also the preparation and the organisation of kind of the programme. So my job obviously is in supporting meetings, so with the staff, leading weekly meetings, talking about players, which is probably the most important thing, is who's doing well, who do we need to accelerate, where are the players at in terms of their loan journey, obviously weekly meetings around their game time and stuff like that. So we talk a lot about players, and we talk a lot about the sessions. So we develop sessions, obviously we talk about it, we talk about individual players within that, we talk about the structure, what do we want to get out of it, we review sessions, pre-match, post-match. So I'm basically in quite a lot of stuff, but obviously that's delivered by the head coach. And again, we're fortunate to have a full-time head coach. So my job is just to support that coach, support them in terms of their strengths, what areas they want to get better at, and also kind of overseeing them on the pitch as well. So what do they want to kind of get better at? And then just observing the staff and around, talking to staff, making sure that we've got a real good culture, a real good team environment, because we need to live and breathe it every day. High performing is something you do consistent, and we want to make sure that we do that every day. So that's led by, I say, all the staff as well, which is then fed down to the players and just driving our standards. And I guess it's something that I drive myself, but also the staff drive within their own environment and their own discipline as well. We're really, really, really lucky to have amazing staff who's really, really advocate player development. So again, it's getting the right staff in. Staff appraisals, obviously then technical board meetings as well, leading in that, leading on stakeholders as well. So FA, coming to FA CPD events, performance plans, making sure our curriculum is up to date. So just doing the more of the strategy side of it, and where we want to go, and how we're going to get there as well.
Because the strategy side is always interesting, because you obviously, you talked about earlier about the model that was already set up, and you just have to kind of implement it more and just tweak it ever so slightly for everything else. But strategy, you know, you've mentioned it, you know, a couple of times, the Champions League, you know, like that mentality. Do you think, we talked about, you know, everyone has to buy in, you know, and you obviously have to bring the right people in, but the leader always seems to be the when things go right, you know, we've obviously got a strong leadership, but when things go wrong, that's when you really are a strong leader, you know. And obviously when you've got, your job is an academy, but really is the Man United, you know, throughout, you know, first team and all that, try is when things are going really well, you know, as a positive, but when things don't go right, you know, like maybe results or the maybe one of the sessions is just not working well, how do you try and use your experience to, you know, work with the coaches more to maybe get that culture back, you know, or something? Because if there's a bad session, it's just a bit of, sometimes it could be a blip, but if it continues, how do you try and keep that, you know, that basically the straight and narrow again to make sure that the standards get higher? Because the standards always dictate the values, but when things go not wrong but start to go a little bit drop, you need to bring them up again, and it sometimes is a bit of a, it can be kind of an energy buzz, you know, from it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a culture's compromised if you have a bad training session or if you have bad results.
Yeah.
I think like the opposite is actually sometimes you learn a lot about yourself. Obviously, you learn a lot about how we deal with emotions. I think it's been okay with bad sessions, and I wouldn't even call it bad session. Think about reflection of, okay, what's gone well? Why didn't it work? Did you need to make a pitch a bit bigger, or did you need to make a few tweaks and changes? Did you really drive the area of the pitch that you wanted to work in? As it might be that the weather just wasn't great, so you didn't get the outcome that you wanted. So there's loads of different factors and barriers, and it's been okay with having an off day, and that's staff as well. Knowing if a staff member is having an off day, everyone else needs to pick the energy up as well, and that's why we work really well as a team, is we've got people around us that drive the standards and drive the energy, and the people do it at different moments. And it's important as well that people are receptive to just understanding themselves in difficult moments. And I think that's where you learn a lot about yourself, is when you're having difficult conversations or moments are stretched and you are finding a little bit tough, is how do you adapt to that? How you deal with that? And then how do you also find a solution to move forward? And if it's a bad session, how do we review it and how do we make it better next one? If it's a bad result, we don't really go off results too much, because obviously, yes, we want to win. We strive to win every game, and winning will take care of itself if performance is there and the players kind of execute the game plan. But we are really confident in what we deliver day to day, and we're really confident in the players that we have at Manchester United to make sure that the standards are high. And yes, you have off days, and that's football, and that's the beauty of football, is you can't win them all. And again, it's just learning from it, adapting, knowing why, and then making the changes to make it better the next time.
Yeah, and I've just got one final question, because obviously your role is very, you know, quite high up, you know, and it's a really important role. But role models, people will probably look to you as a role model, you know, from your past experience of playing, but also kind of coaching and directing now. But who's your role model? Who do you look up to? You know, because we all have mentors, but sometimes we want to try and everyone looks at us. I mean, sometimes we look at other people that maybe non-football, maybe like parents or partners or anything, you know. I have people say dogs are their mentors because they don't get any cheek back from them. So, but I'm just wondering who your kind of mentors are, and how would you describe your relationship with the people who you know work with?
Yeah, so my first mentor growing up, or someone who I kind of trusted, but also who supported me on my coaching journey, but also kind of pushed me into different opportunities as well, is two people, in fact. So one's Matt Johnson, who's actually the technical director of the Man United's Youth Academy, but also as well, he's going to be taking on the 6 month secondment of head of women's football. Just for me, the way he stands out is how he manages people and how he gets the best out of people. So his leadership style really inspired me of how he really showed a lot of care, a lot of support. And then also as well, he showed a lot of direction. So everyone was clear with what they needed to do and what direction they need to move in. And he was always on hand to help provide that support. So the way he kind of worked with people really kind of got me, in terms of, oh, that really inspired me. And just the way he's around people is really calm. He's really strategic. So he always thinks about what that next step is. So I would say he was one of them. And then Gemma Donnelly, who worked at Blackburn Rovers ladies first team as the manager, she gave me a lot of opportunities in terms of my development, sometimes pushed me out of my comfort zone. So I finished playing and I went straight into being the head coach of the first team, taking them into the championship. So that really, really took me out of my comfort zone, because we had to fight and get out relegation first and foremost. And then we had to build on the structure of what we wanted and how we wanted to move forward. So I always say thank you to her around the opportunity she gave me, because that's probably led to me where I am now and the pathway that I chose. But in terms of probably a coach, I would say Mo Marley. She's a very good developer of people and a very good developer of footballers. I probably say a lot of people say they owe a lot of their development to Mo Marley. So Farrah Williams, Jill Scott, that kind of era. Mo was influential in a lot of their players' journeys, and I was really fortunate to work with her at England in the national team. So I was her assistant coach with the under-18s, and the year that I worked with her was the most incredible year I had. I learned so much about myself, so much about coaching, so much about other nations, but also where I wanted to be as a coach. So you pick up off a lot of people, and like I probably said this very early on in the podcast, is you take things from everyone, but you also make it your own. And I think that's important for everyone out there, is don't do something because someone else has done it. Do it your way, but adapt it. Take things from people, but make sure that you've got your unique style and you're bringing yourself, because that's when you're the best, is when you're yourself.
Yeah, totally agree. And it's a really great way to finish, because it's all about, you know, how do you develop yourself, but having that self-belief of, you know, I'm good enough to do this, but sometimes I just have to take that advice from other people, use it, and then make it my own. But thanks again, AJ, for talking to us.
No worries, thanks for having me. It's been really good, thank you.